Can we turn in our Bibles to that portion of Scripture that John was reading earlier on in the meeting, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and he read from verse 18. Now we're not just looking at this portion of Scripture this morning, but we're looking at four actually portions of Scripture, but this is the start one, and we're just going to go to them and we'll read them as we go along this morning. But with our Bibles open before us, can we just unite together, please, at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we rejoice in all that we have heard already today. We thank thee for the messages and song. We thank thee for the blessings that we have had as we have listened to thy word. And our God, we thank thee for every boy and girl that has taken part today. We pray that thou wouldst bless them in their own hearts and be with them, and those that know not thee, that thou wouldst draw them to thyself. And even as we come to thy word now, we pray that thy blessing would be our portion, that thou wouldst come and meet with us, and that thy grace might be upon us, and that thou wouldst meet us at the point of our need. Bless and help us as we come to the end of our meeting. Pour out thy spirit and speak through thy word, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. We live this day in a world that has a great amount of fear in it. We only have to look at the news and to see the fear that takes place. We think of the robberies that have taken place of late. There have been a lot of break-ins to the homes of elderly people. And maybe you can remember the lady that appealed just a few weeks ago for her engagement ring to be handed back. And that causes fear. Not only is there the fear of the people who have been robbed, but we think of the fear it causes in the community amongst others in case it might happen to them. And then we think of the terrorism in our world. That has brought a lot of fear. We think of the rise of radical Islam and all that has happened with the terrorism that has taken place. We also realize that even our own land, the terrorism hasn't come to an end. And we have fears about what will happen in the Middle East, and maybe even fears about what will take place in our own little province and whether there'll be a just and a lasting peace. But then not only are there those kind of fears, but there are what we would call perhaps the ordinary fears of life. There was a survey taken not that very long ago, recently actually, in which the fears of young people were surveyed to see what would be the top 10 fears amongst the young. And it is very interesting to see what the top three are, because they're not very far from the fears of anybody else. Fear number three, they're in reverse order here. Will I be able to make it financially? That's a fear that many people have in this old world. And I suppose as we enter into a new year, with the increased rates bills and the water bills, many people have that fear about their finances. Fear number two amongst young people was, will I get a good education? And of course that is related to fear number three, because they think that if they can get a good education, they can get a good job, and it will lead into an ease of financial worries. That was fear number two. I wonder what you think fear number one amongst young people would be. I would think that we have all sorts of wonders about what that would be. Maybe you have your own opinion. But here's what it was in the survey. Fear number one amongst young people was, will something bad happen in my family? Either through illness or maybe a breakup or something along that lines. And we can identify with those fears today. But the wonderful thing about the message of the gospel is that it is a message that takes away our fear. You see, even surrounding the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find there is mention of a great amount of fear. Now this may be surprising in many ways, because perhaps you would think to yourself, well, it's a message of joy and a message of gladness and a message of peace, and so it is. But you'll find time and time again on a number of occasions where angels usually had to say to the members, the prominent members of the story of the Nativity, fear not, fear not. And there are actually four occasions when angels had to come and say, fear not. And thank God the message of the gospel is a message that takes away the fear of those that are fearful and brings a blessing into the souls and lives of those that are afraid today. And perhaps as you are in this meeting and as you've come to our meeting today, there are things that you're fearful about. Fearful about the future. Fearful about your destiny. Fearful about your soul. But thank God the message today is a message of fear not. The Lord is able to take away those fears. So very simply today, we want to look at the four fear nots that are associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you turn over, actually it's not Matthew chapter 1, it's the first one we're looking at. Turn over to Luke chapter 1 and look at verses 11 to 13 of that portion of Scripture. And this is the first fear not. Verse 13 said, but the angel said unto him, that's Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Zacharias here is married to Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary. And if you look in verse 17, you'll see their problem. It says, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Now, it's obvious from what the angel said to Zacharias that this problem of theirs had been a matter of great prayer. He said, thy prayer is heard, Zacharias. And you notice the desire of their prayer. It was the desire for a child. It was a desire for a little one. And of course, we realize that those that are childless very often have a great longing, desire. And speaking to people along that lines, we realize that sometimes and very often it becomes such a desire that it becomes something that dominates their every waking hour. So we can tell from that this was not a lip prayer. This was not an outward ritual prayer that Zacharias was making. This was the deep longing of his heart. This was something that really came from the very bottom of his soul. He was praying and had been praying for years for a child. And we realize today that there may be those that are here and you've been praying for something for a long time. There's a deep longing in your heart for something. There's a deep desire for something to happen. Perhaps it is that your loved ones would be saved, and that they might come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those of you that are here today, and that has been the prayer of your heart down through the years, that God would step into the lives of those that do not know the Savior, and that they might be saved. There is a deep and a longing desire in your heart. Well, thank God the message is here, fear not, thy prayer is heard. God hears prayer. Now, Zacharias, we know here that it was the will of God that this prayer be answered. I don't know whether Zacharias before this knew it was the will of God. He certainly hadn't given up on his praying. But there are times when God will say no to our prayer. But on this occasion, God here comes and answers prayer. And this was a deep desire of his heart. But notice that while it was the desire of his heart, notice not only his desire in prayer, but notice his disappointment in prayer. Because his prayer down for years had not been answered, it seemed. It seemed as if he had been praying for this for a long time and he'd been bringing it to the Lord, and yet that prayer had not been answered. And eventually he comes to the point where he's almost given up. Because when the angel says to him, fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard, you notice what he says in verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And you notice a little bit of unbelief there. He says, how can this be? How can this happen? I am well stricken in years. My wife has left the age of a child buried. And he looks at the obstacles. But you notice that the word of God comes, and you notice his delight in prayer. Because now God says, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And that is a wonderful encouragement to those of you that have been praying for a long time. Praying for your wife, praying for your husband, praying for your son, praying for your daughter, praying for your grandchildren, that they might be saved. Fear not, thy prayer is heard. And there's a fear not about your supplication, about your prayer. But then I want you to go to a second one, still in Luke chapter 1. If you go down to verse 26, you'll see the second fear not. And this time, it is the fear not about the Son. And look at what it says. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now you notice the relationship that is asked of Mary here. It's a special relationship. If Zacharias' fear was about his supplication, about his prayer, this fear is about a son. The Holy Spirit, the angel here, is asking of Mary that she enter into a special relationship with the Son of God. Now in Mary's case, it was a special relationship, a very special relationship. She was to be the mother in the flesh of the Savior of the world. You know, men and women, God still wants men and women to have a special relationship with his Son. He still invites us to have that special relationship with the living and risen Savior. And he wants you to come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if you will receive him today, you can have a relationship with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice not only the relationship that God asked, but notice the reaction that God found. It says she was troubled. She was troubled. And that's the reaction of many people when the message of the gospel becomes personal. It's okay if you have a ritual. It's okay if it is something that is institutional or formal, that the message is just up there and people are going through a ritual and you hear about a Savior that is born and you see the little manger cribs and things like that. But when it comes down and we tell you that God wants a relationship with you and that you must repent of your sin and that you must come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it comes to the point where maybe you're troubled. See, God wants to trouble you. Because if you go on in the way that you're going to disaster and to a lost eternity, and you are maybe troubled by that. Well, thank God of your trouble. Oh, that God would trouble you about the condition of your soul. She was troubled. He knows what she said. How shall this be? Couldn't understand. And again, that's a very common reaction to the gospel. Remember Nicodemus in chapter 3. The Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And what did he say? How can these things be? How could I, a sinner, how could I, doing what I have done, how could I that have done the things that I have been involved in, how could the Lord accept me? How can these things be? The Lord is able to take the most unexpected. The Lord is able to take the most deep down in sin. The Lord is able to take you no matter who you may be. You don't need to say, how can these things be? Because the Lord, the mighty God of heaven, is able and ready to save. You see the reaction God found. But then notice the response God received. Because when the fear not came, and the angel comes and says to her, fear not, Mary. And I want to say to you today, if you're troubled about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, do not fear. He will receive you. He will take you in. And when Mary heard the fear not, look at what she said in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I wonder, could that be your response today? Lord, according to your word, whatever your word says, whatever you want of me, be it unto me according to thy word. Will you say that today? Is there one in our meeting and you will say, be it unto me according to thy word? Backslider, sinner, saint of God, will you say that today, one and all? Be it unto me according to thy word. We see the fear not of the Son. But then notice something else. Not only are we to fear not about supplication, and not only are we to fear not the Son of God, but turn back now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and here we are told, fear not the social implications. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, look at verses 19 and 20. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now you notice the root of Joseph's fear here. What was his fear? He didn't know whether he should take this woman to be his wife. She was with child. In those days when a person was espoused, it was very like being married. You had to go through a bill of divorcement in order to break that. And here was Joseph in this case, and he was wondering whether he should do that. And he perhaps felt that his name would be smeared. He perhaps felt that in some way people would be talking about him. And I wonder, do you realize the stigma in which the Lord Jesus came into this world? It took courage for Mary and Joseph to do what they did, to stick together here and to go the way that they did. And Joseph here had to bear the social implications of talk. Of talk. You know what the Lord said to him? Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid of what people say. Don't be afraid of who's talking. Don't be afraid of what is being said around about you. But you, he says, that which isn't conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Do right. Stand right. Stand upright. Be courageous. And that's what people, men and women, still have to do as far as the gospel is concerned. Because there are so many people who are afraid of the social implications. What will my family say? What will my loved ones say? What will my neighbors say if I get saved? If I become religious? If I become good living? What will people say about me? What will they say in the clubs that I go to? What will they say in the institutes and the social gatherings that I frequent? What are they going to say if I get right with God? God says, fear not. Fear not. And you shouldn't fear, my friend. I'd fear far more if you don't get right, because you are going down to a lost eternity if you're not right with God. He says, fear not. And you notice that not only do we see the talk that he would have endured, but notice the truth that was ignored, because Mary and Joseph couldn't tell the truth. Well, they could tell the truth, but nobody would believe them. Who would believe that that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost? Who would believe what was really taking place? Of course, that's the same with the gospel. Many people don't believe. They say it's all a myth, it's all a story. But it was the truth. It was the truth that was taking place here. And while others might have talked about her and while others might have rejected her, they were standing in the truth. Stand in the truth, men and women. And not only do we see this talk that was engaged in, the truth that was ignored, but look at the trust that was glad. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Of course, Joseph was being brought into relationship with the Lord Jesus as well. He did what the word of God bade him to do. He had courage. He stood against social implications. No matter who was talking or what was being said, he said, I'm going to do that which is right. Are you going to do that which is right to our Lord Jesus Christ? Men, women, do not reject him. Do not on this day reject him again, but you come and seek the one whom to know is life eternal. So we are not to fear about supplication. We're not to fear about the sons. We're not to fear about the social implications. But then there's one more, fear not. And if you turn back to Luke's Gospel again, you get the last one. Luke chapter 2 this time. And if you look at verse 8 and following, you'll see this fear not. Look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And you'll notice here again that the angels are afraid. Why are they afraid? What are they afraid of? Well, they're afraid of the supernatural. They're afraid of these angels. This company of angels that have appeared in the sky. They're afraid of the spiritual. They can't understand what is happening. There they are, out on the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. When suddenly, there appears this mighty heavenly host. And angels are not the cuddly creatures that you get on the cherub clothing or the little cartoon figures of angels that you get at times. Angels are creatures of awe. If angels are creatures of might and power, and these spiritual beings appear in the heavens singing glory to God in the highest. And the word there says that they were sore afraid. That really just means that they were scared out of their wits. Scared out of their wits. And I want to tell you that oftentimes when people come face to face with the spiritual and with the supernatural, they're scared out of their wits. And there are times when it happens. Sometimes it's in the face of death. And you realize that there's more to this world than the temporal. There is a spiritual dimension. Maybe sometimes it's in the face of tragedy, or in times of hardship, or even in times of revival. In times when God is speaking, when God has come into a place or into a meeting or into a gospel mission, and God has been there, and there's that sense of the presence of the Lord, and there's the sense of the spiritual world. And sometimes in the face of that, there are those that are afraid. But men, women, I want you to think about this. If these shepherds were afraid of the heavenly host, who were singing glories, who were singing a message of joy and praising God and singing a message of peace and goodwill toward men, what will it be to stand before the God of all the earth if he is before you not to speak peace, but as your judge? You need to think about that. If angels bringing a message of peace on earth and goodwill can be a means of fear, what will it be to stand before the God of all the earth? And not only were they afraid of the spiritual nature of these creatures, but they were afraid in the face of the speech of these creatures. Because what did they say? They said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now that implied that they were sinners. If they needed a Savior, they were sinners. But to those that were sinners, thank God that the message was, "Fear not, because the Savior brings peace." And so he does. He can bring peace to your heart. He brings peace to the faithful. He brings peace to those that are in turmoil. He brings peace in the midst of the storms of life. He brings peace. And if you rest in him today, that's what you'll experience. You know, so often we are caught up with this old world and we forget in the midst of it all to rest in our Savior, the God of peace and the God of blessing. And there's been so much hustle and bustle over this last little while. I'm sure, like many of the rest of you, and like me, you've had hardly time to sit. But this is a God of peace. He can bring peace to the troubled heart. He can bring peace to the stricken conscience. He can bring peace to those that are in turmoil today. This is the God of peace. He can bring peace to your guilty soul. He brings peace. Do you want that peace today? Well, have done with your sin. Do you want that peace today, child of God? Then rest in him. Rest in him. Other things about you may blow and the storms of life may beat against you. But if you're standing on the rock, there's nothing that can harm you or hit you. There is peace in him. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And he can do that for you today if you will trust him. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. And if you are here today without the Savior, then don't go away without him. But put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing the last hymn on the hymn sheet. We'll not sing it all. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 2.